never fails. Amen. And I had no idea what Brother Bevis was going to say, but God never fails. He never does. And what a testimony to go with what I want to try to say tonight. Our God never fails. In Ezra chapter 8, let's stand, please. We'll start reading at verse number 21. Verse number 21. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help me, help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. And he was entreated for us. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have again to be in the house of God. And tonight, Lord, that we can stand here in this place and proclaim the word of God. We give you praise. Thank you. Look, for the singing of the songs of the choir, the youth choir, and then, Father, thank you for the boys home here and Brother Bevis testifying of the greatness of God and how you do supply, how you do help. And our Father, tonight, our hearts have been moved already before service concerning things that we want you to hear and answer prayer. And our Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you'd hear us. And we have this confidence that you hear us. We pray according to the will of God for your glory. And Father, we're asking in Jesus' name and to glorify yourself, show yourself mighty, and answer in prayer. Then, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd encourage every heart of every individual here tonight. Then those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight they'd be under conviction, they'd see their need of a Savior, and they repent and be saved. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, I pray for every person here that's discouraged and hurting. And Father, you know the hearts and the lives, and I lift them to you in Jesus' name and ask you to help. And Father, we pray tonight now, magnify yourself, get glory. Help us preach. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're talking on that subject. As I said, God never fails. Zerubbabel, we talked about this morning, had gone back to rebuild the temple. And then he got discouraged. And they got opposition came from that crowd that said, we're with you, but they really wasn't with him. They were their adversary, and they wanted to stop the work of God. And the work ceased on the building of the temple. And then we found in chapter 5, that Haggai and Zechariah came by preaching and stirred up. God did what God said to do. Then the work began back. But here in chapter 8, we find Ezra now. He's going back to Israel, and he's going back to establish the Mosaic law and priesthood and so forth, and the work of the worship that goes on, the ritual they had in the Old Testament, the sacrifices they made and what they did. And so Ezra's going back for that. Zerubbabel went back with the commandment to build the temple. Remember, Nehemiah went and built the walls. And so God puts it all together and gets it all done the way he wants to do it. And I want you to look at verse number 15. Verse 15. Now, this is just kind of an introduction here. He's getting ready to go back to Israel and said, I gather them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there I abode we in tents 3 days. I viewed the people and the priests and found there none of the sons of Levi. He said there wasn't any Levites there. And he needed them because of the way that Moses had set it up under the leadership of the God in the Old Testament. Of course, we're in the Old Testament, but he, in Moses' day, had set it up. And that worship of God and the Levites had a special place. In the latter part of verse 17, that they should withal bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. In verse 18, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. He said we needed it, And God sent the man and brought us, and then he found at the end of that verse, he said 18 of them. And so they had what they needed to go back and get started into that. And they were looking forward to building and to worshiping God together. Now, it's important for us to understand that the restoration of building the temple, they had to have worship. They had to have that if they're going to get back where they need to be with God. And so he's now contemplating. He's looking at the situation. Here we are, and we've got the Levites now. We've got some people. We got a remnant with us, and the remnant had already gone back. Now another remnant going. And he's thinking, I'm going back. And what he was thinking about was that on the way back, they was dangers. They was things they didn't know about. He didn't know what to expect. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And so undoubtedly had some uncertainties in his heart and some things that he feared, some things he wasn't sure about. And so there he was contemplating all of that and considering what he's going. Now remember, he's taking some gold and silver back with him. Look in verse 25. And weighed unto them the silver and the gold, the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors, his lords, and all Israel had offered. And so they'd offered this, and they were taking it back. They was thieves out there between where they were in Babylon and going back to Israel that would love to have the gold and the silver. They was people that would steal people, so they put them in slavery. And so they had all that to face, and they faced that. Now, that's the setting where we are in this story. But now I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 22. I want to see a principle here that is very vital to us. In verse number 22, latter part of that verse, I'm starting at the latter part, we'll come back to the first. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon us, upon all them that for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. He said, now, here I am, I've got a testimony, and I've told the king that the hand of God is on all those that do right. Hand of God's on those that serve him. Hand of God is with those that believe in him. And said, I've done all of that, and my testimony is at stake, and the testimony of the Lord's at stake here. And so he's concerned about that. Said, I've told him that God is for that those that trying to do right and is against those that do wrong. And I say amen to that. He's absolutely right. I want you to turn with me, please, in Psalms 34. Psalms number 34 and verse 15. I want you to listen closely what God has to say. Very same thing Ezra's saying. Psalms 34, verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Let me pause there and say to you, and here we're not talking about just salvation, but it is including salvation. He saves people that gets brokenhearted over sin, and those that get to realize the fact that God's God, they need help. He forgives those that realize they need help. And I'm glad we got a God that's able to bring conviction and able to stir hearts and make them realize they need something from God and can help them. Amen. And so I encourage you folk that are praying, keep on praying. Our God is able to hear and answer prayer, and I believe he will. In verse number 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. And 1 Peter 3:12, he's saying the same thing, that the eyes are over all those righteous, and his ears open to their prayers, his face against those that do evil. And so he's saying in his word, God does watch over his people. And brother was testifying a while ago of how God supplies their need. If you've never read the story of George Mueller, you ought to read it sometime. It's a blessing, amen. I mean, one morning they needed milk for our orphanage, had no milk, and they needed milk. And back in those days, they had horse-drawn wagons bringing the milk, and something happened to one of the wheels, and it broke down. And they came, knocked on the door, and said, "We got milk out here. It's going to go to waste. We got to do something with it. Can you use it? Bring it in." They was doing like he was doing. Whoop. Amen. Bring it in. Bring it in. And here we are. And it certainly is worth our thought to think about that our God watches over those that are trying to live for him and trying to do right. Amen. And then for God to give him a freezer as well as the meat. Like him, a cow. Don't know what to do with the cow, but boy, you bring one butchered up, I know what to do with him. Amen. And that boy's home sure knows what to do with it. And I praise God for that. And I'm glad God did what he did. God sent him by tonight just to help us preach, and I appreciate it. Amen. And he said, here Ezra is, and he's saying, "I'm concerned about my testimony now. I've been talking to the king about how good God is to his people and how he watches over them, how he cares for them. And I've been doing all this and telling him he's against all the evil. Now, what am I going to do here? I'm fixing to make a trip back. And the king's given me that authority to do that, that ability to do that. And I'm fixing to get ready to do that. What am I going to do?" And now look at verse number 22 again. Look at the first part of it. And brings out his character of Ezra. Notice what he says. "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way." He said, I've been telling how good God is to his people. I've been telling how God watches over his people. I've been saying how good God is and how he's against all the evil. Now I'm ashamed to go to the king and ask him for a band of soldiers. Said, if I go and ask him for a band of soldiers, then he's going to believe I'm doubting my God. He's going to believe I. But don't we get in a situation where we show our doubt instead of our faith? Amen. I plead guilty. Amen. I plead guilty. There's times that I face things or look at things, and instead of just really believing God about it, I'm like the man down to the foot of the mount. "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." I get that way so much. But we need to believe God. And trust God and believe God for these things. Let God help us with it. And he said, "I'm ashamed to ask him for the." He could ask for the escort. He could ask for a cavalry to go with him. He could ask the soldiers to go, and the king would have granted that. But he said, it cast doubt on my faith in God. It cast doubt on my belief that God take care of us and do what he said. So I'm not going to do that. Now notice what he did in place of that, verse number 21 back. Again, that first verse we read. "Then I proclaimed a fast there." And he said, we didn't inflict ourselves. And said, what I did, when he proclaimed a fast, he didn't just mean a fast. I'm just going to quit eating and all that. But said, "I proclaimed a fast, we're going to pray." And fasting and praying. I mentioned a man at the foot of the mount a while ago. You remember the disciples couldn't help the boy. As possessed, and they couldn't do anything for him. And Jesus came down from the mount. He and the Father had a conversation, and Father made that great cry, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." And then Jesus did the miracle and healed the boy and saved him. And then the disciples later asked Jesus, said, "Why couldn't we not cast out the demon? Why could we not help that boy?" And he said, "This kind coming forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And I believe there's a lot of things we need to fast from, and not just food, but things of this world, stuff that gets in our way, things that may not be wrong in themselves, but they get in our way of serving God. And they're hindrance to our testimony of the saving grace of God. And our faith sometimes gets weak, and we get, as I said this morning, discouraged. And we want to give up on some things that we ought to be doing. And so we understand that here he is. And so he said, "Let's pray and let's cry out to God." And don't you know that our brother over here, he prays and asks God for what they need, and God does that. How did the White family know to do that? God, the Holy Spirit, laid on their heart to do something and did that and helped them. Amen. And God lays on your heart to do something. It's good to do it and just say nothing about it and let God get glory. Amen. That's what they did. They just did what God said, and God blessed it. God blessed them, and God blessed the home, and the home's doing. I say hallelujah. Praise God. Anytime God sends a cow by, I like it. Amen. I got a cow story of my own. Amen. That came by. I mean, I had to have some money one time for something for the church that we needed. I had promised, and I needed that. Didn't have it. I didn't say anything to church about it. I didn't know what to do because they didn't have it. But I'd already promised that, and I thought, man, I'm backed in the corner right now. I need God to do something sure enough. And so I prayed about it, asked God about it, and I had a farmer over there, Roger Boyer's brother, and Roger were together in a dairy farm. And he came to me one day, Brother Sam did, and said, we got a cow. And said, this cow, we wintered that cow. We fed it all winter long. We've asked every neighbor we know. Nobody says it's their cow. Nobody claims it. And we've been taking care of it. I went to the sheriff's department, and they said, well, you fed it all winter. You can't find who owns it. Just sell it and do what you want to with it. He said that we sold the cow, and here's the money. We want to give it, and you use it for the glory of God. I say hallelujah. I went, whoa, that time myself, amen. Because it's exactly, and by the way, it's exactly the amount that I needed. And God just did what I needed. I say praise God for cows, amen. God don't have cattle on 1,000 hills, and he knows when to send the cow by. If there's a cow runs through here tonight, we'll shout glory, hallelujah, amen. I was preaching up in Camp Abel in the camp meeting. I preached that message on the horse and the mule and the donkey. I preached that one night, and we had a great time. Just a night or two later, I got up to preach, and honest to goodness, right by that tabernacle, it's open iron tabernacle, had a roof over it and no sides. And honestly, here come a horse, some horses running by. Right behind them were some mules, and right behind them was donkeys. That place went wild, and they said, don't you ever preach on the flood. Amen. God holds the horses, he holds the mules, he holds the donkeys, the cows and all of it. And if God holds all that together, he can sure hold me together. Amen. He can help me. Amen. He can help his church. He can help us. He can help you as an individual. He can help you as an individual. He can help your home. He can help your life. Amen. Hey, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask or think. Here they are praying. And so they're praying, asking God. But notice why he's praying. And in that prayer, he's asking. He said, before our God, to seek of him a right way for us. He said, what I'm asking God, show us the right way. He knows now he's facing a dangerous situation. He knows what he's facing. And he doesn't know all the details about it, but he knows the possibilities are there. And so he says, I want the right way for us. I want to do the right thing. He's struggling now. He said, I want to do right. You ever get to a place where you're struggling and saying, I want to do right? I want to do the right thing. You have, I'm sure you have, been saved any length of time you struggle with some things. I want to do the right thing. Then I said, not only that, and for our little ones. He said, I want God to help us do the right thing for ourselves and for our little ones. And said, I want God to guide us. Hey, our children are important. Our young folk are important. I want God to give us leadership to do the right things for them. That they'll have the right leadership, that they'll go in the right direction, and they'll serve God right as God would have them to do. Amen. And you know that. And then he makes another statement I thought very interesting when I was reading this. For our little ones and for our substance. He said, I want to do right, God, to show me the right way for us, the right way for our little ones, and the right way for our substance. He was concerned about what they had. And said, we want to take care of that and do the right thing with it. And so he was concerned about that. Of course, he's concerned about somebody stealing it and taking it away and doing wrong with it. But I tell you, God's concerned what you do with your substance. Amen. And God's blessed you. I don't know how you give and what you give and all that. But I know what the Bible says. And the Bible teaches that you ought to tithe. Amen. The Bible teaches we ought to do that. Bible teaches we ought to give an offering. Bible teaches we ought to help missionaries go. Bible teaches we ought to give. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. And you say, somebody said to me one time, that tithing's in the Old Testament. It sure is. But Jesus said to him one time, said this you ought to do, not leave the other undone. Amen. And then something else he went into. He said this. He didn't talk about what Jesus said, but what the Bible said. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek a long time before God ever thundered off of Mount Sinai.
He was time before the law ever come. This time the thing's not a law. It's a principle God laid down and said that timber sin is mine, and you ought to, amen, that's timber sin of its his. And whatever God blesses you with, timber sin's his, and it's good to give it, amen. I don't say a whole lot about giving because I believe this. If God gets your heart, he'll get your pocketbook. If he never got your pocketbook, he's never got you where he wants you, amen. And you're probably out of the will of God. And so God's working on you about that. Just let him work and obey him. He's praying about, we want to do the right thing with our substance. And the dear brother said a while ago, you can't outgive God. That's absolutely right. When God lays on your heart, and somebody may get laid on their heart tonight to give them something else, I don't know. But whatever it is, do it, amen. And give that. Do whatever God said. God's all, you can't do more than what God can bless you for. God can bless you abundantly above all you can do. Amen. And I realize sometimes there's a thin line between faith and foolishness, but you ought to just do what God said. When you're really in tune with God and the Holy Ghost is leading your life, you know when God's speaking to your heart, when God's laying something on your heart. God ever lay anything on your heart and then you didn't do it and later you had to repent about it? Boy, I have. I've been there, done that, been through that. And I want to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and just do what God says to do and let God help us with it. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. And I'm telling you about, here he was. And he had a principle in it. He had testimony, had a good testimony before the king, had told about his Lord. And then he did all of that. He realized all of that. Then he was ashamed to ask the king for help. He wasn't going to, because that put doubt on him. And so he prayed about it, said, now show us the right way for us, and the right way for our little ones, and the right way for our substance. I want to show you the protection that he got. By the way, let me just throw this in about this praying, because I said a little bit about it, but faith, believing God, trusting God. And somebody said about praying. I don't know who said it. I jotted down this quote a long time ago. I don't know where I got it from. But here's the quote. He got what he prayed for because he believed before he prayed that he'd have what he prayed for. And he got what he prayed for because he prayed for what he believed God would give him and prayed for it. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, you're just repeating yourself. Say what you want to about it. It's pretty good. Amen. You get what you ask for if you really believe God. If you really believe God, you're going to ask for what you need. That's a good way to put it in my words. Amen. And saying to you what God said is that our God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's, and we use that verse a lot of times just talking about physical things. Let me say this. It's not just physical. But it's every need that we have in our life. Every need you have and every need I have is not physical. Every need I have is not in the spiritual, physical realm, sometimes in the spiritual realm. A lot of my needs are in spiritual realms, amen. And I need God to help me. I need God to help me and then emotionally. And these other ways that we go through things that we need help. Our God is able to help us. Now, I'm preaching to me as much as anybody in this room. I need help, amen. And I need that. I realize that fact. And so I want to believe God is able to help me and trust him to do that. And so we do that. It's impossible to please God if we don't have faith. He said, he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so he said he would, and we trust God for it. I want to show you the how he did protect him. Look in verse number 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. He said, we prayed, we fasted, and we asked God, and God was entreated for us. What he's saying is, God heard our prayer. God answered my prayer. I believe before Ezra ever left that land of captivity, before he ever took that remnant and headed back toward Jerusalem, he knew and believed God that he was going to get there safe, that God was going to protect him and take care of it. He said God was entreated for us. Did you know when you committed all to God, if it's in the will of God, he'll give you peace in your heart? about that. And you can rest assured it's okay. And you can call those things which are not as though they were. Amen. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I believe he's saying before he left there, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a safe trip. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to get there. Thank you, Lord, for watching over our little ones. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. Thank you, Lord, for getting our substance there. Then he headed out. Headed out. Didn't have any soldiers. Didn't have any army with him, didn't have anybody to protect him. Couldn't fight a war, couldn't fight a battle. If they were attacked, they were goners. But they had a holy God watching over them. Hey, man, that's the best protection you'll ever have, is a holy God. Look at verse number 31. Then we departed on the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. And of such that lay in the way by the way. And we came to Jerusalem about 3 days. Hey, did you hear what he said? He said the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy. I say glory to God. Aren't you glad God's hand can be upon you? And God can deliver you from whatever it is that you're being plagued with or bothered by or whatever your situation is. We got a God that's able to deliver us. And then verse number 33. Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of God. He said, now on the fourth day we had all of our silver and our gold. We weighed it. They weighed it before they left. They weighed it when they got there and they had every bit of it. Verse number 34, by number, by weight of every one, all the weight was written at that time. They said, we wrote it all down. But here comes a good part. Now it's great. It's good that they got there. It's good and great they got the substance there. But notice what they did when they got there. Verse number 35. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks of all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. They were worshiping God. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river. And they furthered the people and the house of God. Hallelujah. They came, they got tired, they did what they're supposed to do, they brought what they're supposed to bring, they worshiped, they sacrificed to God, they worshiped, and then they were furthering the work of the house of God. That's what I was preaching this morning. Our hands need to be strengthened, and we can further the work of the house of God, and we can go on, build a church for the glory of God, and see God do great and mighty things. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the reality of this truth of Ezra. And Father, as he did what he's supposed to do and didn't go and ask the world for help, didn't have any bake sales, didn't try to work up something, have something that wasn't right, he just trusted you. Father, went the way you said to go. You got him there. Then you used him when he got there. Those things that it brought you used, and Father, they worshiped. I pray, Father, you'd help all of us that we'll worship and that we'll do what you want us to do and give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, tonight these people here hurting. These folk that have needs in their lives. These folk that's hurting spiritually, some financially. Some hurting and emotionally. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name in every way they hurt that you minister to them tonight. But Father, not only do I pray for them, but I pray for us. Help all of us. Lord, that our hands may be strengthened to do the work that you said for us to do. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.